You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, during COVID-19, we've seen a lot of people wearing the face masks.
Yes.
Like what surgeons would use.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people, and I count myself in this boat, that know that they're important and they help in some way.
We were, like, inundated with masks because we had, obviously, the bushfires come through. So that was like, we need all of the smoke masks. And then we were like, we need more.
Yes.
So we were pretty, I guess, well-equipped moment because everyone had one.
Well, Simo, one person has taken to social media to explain why these masks are super helpful.
Okay.
This person, he is a lot smarter than me and has a much better intro than me.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
It may be the greatest intro to a TV show perhaps ever.
Yeah. So, he could have changed his name, don't you think?
To what?
Like Bill as a Dr. Bill.
Yeah, I reckon it works.
It's like Bill and Ben, the flower pot men. I've got an Uncle Bill from Broken Hill. Like,
Simo, no offence to your Uncle Bill, but I don't want to get science advice from him, nor Bill and Ben, the flower pot men.
Well, they'll know a lot about photosynthesis.
Simo, Bill Nye, who is an incredibly smart man, he had a TV show, like a kid's science TV show that ran for years and years and years and is iconic. He has created a TikTok account to explain why wearing face masks are important and what they do. And like, this TikTok has been viewed like millions of times. I think we've got a little bit of it here.
Can I just premise this by saying in his older age, he has got a lot angrier. Have you noticed this?
No.
He's got a little bit more like, he's sick of just teaching people. Now he's more like, do this or else.
I think that's, no offense to old people, that's just a general thing that happens.
Greetings, everyone. Bill Nye here. Why do people in the scientific community want you to wear a face mask when you're out in public? Well, please consider the following. Face masks like this one prevent particles from my respiratory system from getting into the air and then into your respiratory system. Blocking the movement of air is an old trick. Here's a scarf. It blocks the movement of air around my throat, helps keep me warm.
So he's given a full rundown of
masks
and scarves, and you can wear both, I guess.
Yeah, it goes on for longer. In winter, you probably need a scarf as well. But Simo, he's got a couple of other TikToks on there, and I was kind of amazed. Like yesterday, I was just scrolling through, looking at him. I kind of got a bit addicted to watching Bill Nye TikToks.
How long have you been on TikTok now? Is it a week?
About a week or so.
Yeah, nice, fair, cool.
And I kind of got addicted to him, Simo, and watching this. And it's amazing. Like, Bill Nye, he's an incredibly smart man, but he does kind of get in your head a bit.
Okay.
So last night, I have a machine at home which captures all of my dreams and then, like, records the audio and we can play it on air. I haven't mentioned it before and probably will never mention it ever again.
Yeah, no,
but
right.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant machine.
Sounds plausible.
So, Simo, this morning I turned it on and just, I wanted to recap what I dreamt about last night. Oh, donuts. Raining donuts. Oh, there's a chocolate donut. Oh, donuts. That's it. Hey, Jordan. It's Bill Nye here, and I think you should consider the following. Please give me your wallet, but before you do that, buy all of my DVDs, full price, and then your wallet. Give it to me now. Bill Nye may be an evil genius trying to steal all my money. That's all I'm saying.
What sound does your machine make, like, when it's on? Like, is it hard to sleep with it on?
No, it's quite fun.
That would circumvent its usefulness. If it's a dream catcher and it rumbles in the corner, you're like, I can't sleep, my dream catcher's on.
No, one of the perks of this machine is that it is deadly quiet.
Simo and Jordan.
Time for a love chat. Love a good love chat. First impressions, Jordan, are yours normally good?
First impressions that I give to other people.
That's right, when it comes down to dating.
Also, Mo, I'll ask you, what were your first impressions of me when we first met?
Oh, good, yeah, I was hoping we weren't dating, but then again, I wasn't sure.
We weren't dating.
No.
Why do you even think that we were?
Well, because remember you came straight from Mardi Gras that day.
Oh, yeah, no, I did do that. Okay, so we met up in Sydney. And yeah, I had gone to Mardi Gras the night before, which,
right,
as a straight person, you can do.
Yep,
it's fine.
Yeah, you know, it's
of
course you can.
But you kind of got the wrong impression.
No, it's just... Nah, I was... But your first impression was great.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Is it typically been good for you?
I think so.
Like in job interviews then? Same thing? Pretty successful? Like, do you normally get... If you get, say, for instance... When you get to the stage where you have an interview, do you normally get the job? Because I know a guy, he's every time he's interviewed, he's got the gig that he wanted. Just absolutely kills the first impression.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 50-50 ratio of interview and getting the job. I'm trying to... My job interview for this job was actually over the phone, so I don't know if you can really make a first...
That's true.
Well, at least not a visual first impression.
It's tricky. Well, you are absolutely ripped, so...
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Our my first impression to the general manager here was literally on my first day, and she at the time said, oh, God, why did we hire him?
So... the reason I bring it up is because there has been some research published in Psychological Science Journal, which suggests that romantic interest depends on making a positive rather than an accurate first impression.
Yeah, I'd say that's... I mean, you definitely don't want it to be negative.
Yeah, but also, think about it, accurate. So you don't need to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So it just needs to be overwhelmingly positive on your first impressions in order to get a good result.
Yeah, I reckon that's...
On point?
I reckon that's on point, for me at least.
Really? So have you... what have you done on your first dates for your first impression? What are you into, Jordan? Are you into mountain biking or skydiving? Or what have you lied about?
Yeah, all of those.
At the same time.
Like, she's like, yeah, I love taking walks in the park. I'm like, yes, yeah, so do I. Never done it in my life.
Well, that's what the study suggests. They did some surveys. 569 single people took part, so they are out there. And they found that, yeah, all it needs to be in order to win a second date or what have you, just needs to be overwhelmingly positive. Doesn't necessarily need to be accurate.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Who did this survey? This is perhaps the most obvious survey ever.
It's been published in The Blind at First Sight, the role of distinctively accurate and positive first impressions in romantic interest.
Isn't Blind at First Sight a TV show? I know there's Married at First Sight, sorry.
But I guess there's lots of people out there who, at the very beginning of the relationship, they were like, oh yeah, I'd love to go. I love mountain bike riding.
Yeah, everyone does that.
And now there's just the mountain bike just sitting in the shed, just gathering dust, never to be seen. So it's like you got to snag them at the very beginning and then you can kind of wean them off the, you know, fake interests over time.
Maybe don't put it like that to your potential partner. I don't think if you put it like, yeah, I'm going to snag you and then slowly wean you off the fact that I love mountain biking because I actually hate it. And then we'll live forever in happiness, never mountain biking ever.
You open up the Simo Thesaurus Dictionary and that is right there next to marriage. It's right there.
Just weaning them off the boring things you don't like doing.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, lots of pubs around the place starting to reopen or have been reopened for a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
After COVID-19. Obviously, social distance and do all of the correct things.
Check out nsw.gov.au for the latest.
And Simo, that's similar with pubs in the UK that have started to reopen as well. They were like a couple of weeks after us here in Australia. But they have started to open and obviously they are... adhering to social distancing and all that sort of stuff.
I have a couple of really optimistic, cheerful English friends who mentioned that the only good thing about the UK is their friends, their family, the football and the pubs. So pubs are life over there, so they love them. And so I'm not surprised they're getting back in there as soon as they can.
Well, one pub in England has taken a bit of an extreme measure to make sure its patrons are adhering to social distancing.
Okay.
So what was happening in this pub, it's called the Star Inn. And at the bar, it had lots of people. They weren't kind of adhering to social distancing. They would be leaning up against the bar or leaning over the bar.
I've seen plenty of signage around the Snowies. Mm. Like, don't lean on this, please.
Yeah, but they put up all the signs as well. But still people were like leaning over the bar and, you know, the people behind the bar were in the 1.5 metres. I think it might be 2 metres in the UK, whatever the rules are.
It's very difficult to change your behaviour, like something that feels natural, especially in those environments as well. It feels odd, but it'll be, you know, it'll become natural over time for sure.
I've kind of done that to a degree when you kind of walk into a bar and you see a friend and you're just like, hello, and you have to step back, can't be this close.
Yeah, you'd normally go to hug him and then all of a sudden you're elbowing each other and
I know.
It's game on.
6 months ago, if you elbowed someone, that would be bad. Now it's like, oh, that's hi. Good to see you. Elbow touch.
You're so polite.
I know. So Simo, this pub in the UK has taken extreme measures to stop people from leaning over the bar and getting too close to the people behind the bar. Now, Simo, you used to work in a pub. Mm. You were a bartender.
Yep.
If you had to, you know, stop people from getting close to the bar, leaning over the bar, any thoughts? What would you do?
Well, in this case, you also, as the bartender, don't want to get too close, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
So you could probably resort to start, like, poking them with the broom or the mop, mm-hmm. like, just the end, just kind of like, back you, get back. The beers are for one at a time, you'll get your turn.
Does have a touch of Shaun of the Dead about it, that movie. Yeah. Like you're trying to defend the pub from a zombie apocalypse.
Pretty much. Well, it's a little bit like that.
No, Simo, what this pub has done is it has installed an electric fence.
No way. Genius.
Like the proper electric fences that you would have in a farm to keep animals in.
There's a lot of liquids around.
Mm.
Jeepers.
That does concern. So you got the bar, and then on the bit where the patrons stand, there's about a 30-centimetre or so gap, then there's an electric fence. So the people have to stand behind the electric fence, lean over it to get their drinks and pay for it and all that sort of stuff.
Right. That's interesting. It'll take them back to their school days. But with like,
what school did you go to that they kept you in with an electric fence?
So did you never do this with your mates? Like you'd all put your hands on the electric fence at the same. Not recommending this at all, by the way.
Good that you got
so
it in there.
You would you put your hands. Everyone puts their hands on the electric fence at the same time.
Yeah,
and then it's like chicken. So then you gotta like take them off, but you don't want to be the first one to take it off. So like you want to be the second to last one to not like when the zap comes through.
Yeah.
So, like, you and your mates would be, like, watching each other waiting for the pulse.
Can I just second this by saying we do not recommend this at all?
Not at all. Definitely not. But, you know.
But yes, I have done that.
What you do to pass the time in the 90s.
But, yes, I have done that. And, Simo, maybe after a couple of drinks, if you do go to this pub in the UK, that may seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, all right, who's paying the next round? I've got a way to find out who.
Yeah, it's pretty much
last one to take their hand off paying.
Simo and Jordan.
And Australia, we're always making sure everyone knows we have the deadliest creatures available.
Mm-hmm, yes. As soon as another country claims they have a more deadly one, we're like,
Excuse me.
Got this spider that lives under a rock somewhere.
Back of the line.
They can kill you by looking at you or something.
And the people to blame, we discussed them yesterday. The Irwins, right? They're definitely the ones to blame.
Look, I wouldn't say blame.
Yeah.
Now, this is a python. Son of a gun. Carpet python.
So there's the crocodile hunter just holding a python, taking a bite square to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed that yesterday. And now the terror continues. A new species of walking sharks has been discovered in Australia. Yes, boys.
I'm moving to New Zealand.
I come from the land down under.
A new species of walking shark.
Where women glow and sharks walk on soil.
Yeah, it's sort of. We'll get in touch with Men at Work, see if they can redo their stuff. So how does this... Is this a shark with legs? Is that how it works?
Instead of swimming, the new technique helps the sharks hunt in the waters off northern Australia. Once learnt, it now has been passed on to the offspring from birth, so they can walk up to the sandy beach by moving their little fins.
Oh, so... Like this fins on the side, whatever they're called.
Yeah, like we're talking like seal kind of action now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, scary stuff.
I kind of see. Mm. Okay, scary stuff, but no offence to walking sharks. Not particularly fast.
No.
Oh, look, there's a walking shark. Oh, let's just walk over here and we'll be fine.
Well, but every horror movie ever, they take a long time to kill the heroes in those films. It is normally a very slow death, Jordan.
I've got to ask, how do they breathe? Don't sharks... Can they... Isn't sharks, they're like fish, they can't breathe out of water?
I think they've got to take a little dip every now and again. They've got to go back.
So they've got to hold their breath.
Yeah, they've got to hold their breath.
So if you're 50 metres away from a water source...
That's right.
You should be fine.
But there goes the entire premise of Jaws out the window. Next time you sit down with your old school film club to watch an iconic movie, you know, the whole premise of Jaws is like, oh, what's in the water? Whereas now, it might not be in the water, people.
Now it's what's out of the water for a short moment before it has to go back into the water to breathe.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Naming children, not something that either of us are experts in.
Correct, because neither of us have any children.
How long do you reckon you have to wait?
Before what, naming a child?
Yeah, before writing up the name.
Don't people have like the name figured out before the child's born?
Typically, yes.
Normally, I mean, if it's... If it's like 6 months down the line, it's like, oh, we haven't, we can't, is it Roger or Rafa? We can't work out which is our favourite tennis player to name our son after.
We'll split the difference and go Rodney. He doesn't play tennis. Oh, back to the drawing board.
But that's close to Andy Roddick.
Okay, nice.
You could go, this is Roddick.
However, the reason we discuss naming is because some people absolutely nail it and other people not so much.
Okay.
So, obviously, Usain Bolt had a kid relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
Named, it was a daughter named Olympia Lightning Bolt.
Good name.
Absolutely smashing it. However, there has been some headlines grabbed by a mum who's considering changing her daughter's name 2 years into life.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I know that you can change your name as an adult, and when people get married, some people do change their name.
Yeah.
But, like, as a doesn't the two-year-old have to sign the documents?
Probably, yeah.
Which,
what do they call it?
Just like, a handprint?
Yeah, just...
well, it's squiggle. A signature of sorts. Like, it probably doesn't fit in the box, but it's a signature of sorts.
Now, it's like, are you sure you want to be called Super Death Metal?
Yes. To be fair, I'm 24. I want to be called Super Death Metal.
Yeah.
Simo and Super Death Metal.
That's quite catchy.
I know. Rating sore.
But I don't know if the baby's name is currently Clara, but she's not happy with it 2 years after thing. Just doesn't quite fit, doesn't quite work.
The mother's not happy with it, no. Or the 2 year olds.
The mother's
2 year old's like, mother, why did you name me Clara?
It's like terrible twos. She's really angry all the time. No, that's just natural. That's just what happens.
Just changing your name takes terrible twos to another extreme level.
Apparently, she's considering changing it to Lara, Loretta, Claire, Coco, or Carrie.
Well, they're all kind of similar to Clara.
Yeah, she's going to get herself confused if she's not careful.
No, could you just run through all the names that she's thinking of changing them to again?
Lara, Loretta, Claire, Coco, and Carrie.
If you mash all those names together, it sounds like Clara.
It does. I think that's what she's... She doesn't want to go with the C and the L together.
Mm. Well, that's Klaus out.
She's split them, so she's gone like Lara, Loretta, Coco, Carrie. You can see like the L's and the C's. She doesn't want them together.
Why don't they just change the C at the front to a K?
Well, yeah, that's one way to go about it. But then, very Kardashian of her to do that. Don't want to.
Well, Kardashians are big at the moment. Well, they got lots of Instagram followers.
Next thing you know, it'll be lawsuit just sliding through the letterbox.
Yeah, yeah, but before that, next thing you know, Clara will have a million Instagram followers, and she's only two.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, listen to Snow FM from 6 to 9 weekdays.